Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Father, we thank you for this service tonight, for what our ears have already heard, what our hearts have felt. Thank you for the presence of God. You promised us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be there in the midst, and you are here. Oh, you are here. Thank God you are here. And I pray that tonight, Lord, some soul would feel the wooing of the Holy Ghost. Some heart, Lord, would see how wonderful Jesus is. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me tonight. Lord Jesus, I am weak, but you are strong. Oh God, there isn't in me, Lord, what's needed for this service, but it is in you. And so we're asking you for your help tonight. Praying, Lord, that you'd minister to souls in this house for the glory and honor of God. Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on divine prayer. A divine prayer for spiritual recovery. You see, in this passage of Scripture, the encounter between Jesus and Peter just before the crucifixion of the Lord. And in this passage of Scripture, we understand from what our Lord says that when people fail, it doesn't have to end in utter despair. Because Jesus said to Peter, predicting his coming failure, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. That is, that thy faith not utterly fail. That thy faith may not give out or disappear completely. That thy faith may not be totally eclipsed. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now in saying that, Jesus predicting the coming failure of Peter, Jesus indicated that he willed the recovery of Peter. In this prayer that he prayed, he showed that he willed the recovery of Peter after his failure. Satan wanted to administer a test to the disciples of Christ. In my text, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That word you there is in the plural in the original languages, which indicates that Satan was seeking to administer a test to the whole band of the disciples. Satan hath desired to have you all, that he may sift you as wheat. So you see that Satan had come to Jesus, because before he can get to you, he's got to come through Jesus. So he had asked permission that he might test the disciples of Jesus Christ. Just like, you know, in the Old Testament, Satan came before God and said, God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yes, but I can't get to him. But he said, if you'll let me get to him, I'll cause him to curse you to your face. Job was protected by the Lord. And Satan couldn't get at him unless he got permission from God. So when it says Satan hath desired to have you, Satan was making a request that he might get at the disciples. Jesus knew what Satan was up to. And he knew that what Satan was wanting to do with these disciples was to destroy their relationship with Christ and to turn them against the Son of God. The very one that had called them to be his followers, the very one that they had walked with for 3.5 years, Satan wanted to turn them against Jesus. He wanted to attempt to prevent any recovery of that broken relationship. He wanted to break it and then block any recovery of this relationship between Jesus and his disciples. Satan had asked for permission to get at the disciples. Now I'm going to tell you something startling now. Jesus allowed Satan to test his disciples, even though he knew they were going to fail the test. He had just predicted the failure of Peter. He told that all of the disciples were going to forsake him. Like sheep, they were going to scatter from the shepherd. Jesus predicted that. He knew ahead of time that these disciples were going to fail the test, and yet he gave Satan opportunity to test them, even though he knew they were going to fail the test. Now, the testing did not change their commitment to Christ. But listen to me, it revealed the weakness of that commitment to Christ. And Christ knew it all along. They didn't know it. They were not aware of the weakness of their commitment to Jesus. They were boasting and bragging of what they were going to do. In their minds and hearts, they were sold out to Jesus. But Jesus knew that their commitment to Him was not what they thought it was. Sometimes we are not quite as strong as we think we are. And the Bible tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. This testing was necessary to correct their estimation of themselves. They'd been arguing among themselves who was the greatest among them. You see, there was this attitude of pride, spiritual pride among them. And they were arguing among themselves, who among us is the greatest? And Jesus said, look, you're all going to fail me. And I prayed for you. Satan wants to get at you. And Jesus knew that they were going to fail him. But they needed to understand that their commitment to Christ was not what they thought it was. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's writing later on. You know, this is years after this incident that I read to you. He's writing later on in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and God giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. These disciples arguing among themselves who is the greatest among them. Later, now Peter says, I've learned my lesson. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. This idea of who is the greatest among us, I'm telling you, Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then you've got to become a servant among my people. In this prayer, Jesus singled out Peter for special prayer for his recovery. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, plural, that he may sift you, plural, as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, singular, that thy faith fail not. And the reason that Jesus singled out Peter is because he knew that Peter's failure was going to be greater than the others. This man Peter was going to deny Jesus three times. And Jesus told him before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. So Jesus knew that Peter's failure was going to be greater than the others. And he knew that Peter would need greater resources in order to recover. This man would be devastated by his failure. And so Jesus knew that Peter was going to need special attention. And so he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Now I want to tell you, in this terrible tragedy in Peter's life, denying the Lord three times, Jesus refused to give up on Peter. And we see Jesus dealing with Peter in special ways. When Peter had denied the Lord, the cock crowed. The Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Jesus didn't say anything. He only turned and looked at him. But when Jesus turned and looked at him, he spoke to him in that look. And in that look, Jesus was telling Peter, Peter, I know what you've done, but I still love you. I still care. I'm still concerned about you. I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. It broke his heart. The Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that the angel said to the women, go tell the disciples of Jesus and Peter. Singled him out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. The Bible tells us when Paul is going through that list of people that Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection, he singles out Peter, that he appeared unto Cephas. Jesus made a special appearance unto Peter alone. And Jesus said to Peter, after you have been converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. So you understand that at the same time that Jesus predicted his failure, he also commissioned his later work and said, after you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave him a commission at the same time he's predicting his failure. Because I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Hallelujah. You know, through his failure, Peter had weakened the brethren. But now that he has been converted, repented, wept, and cried, he is to strengthen the brethren. This man who once weakened the brethren through his failure, he is now to be the one who strengthens the brethren. And Peter was there with that 120 in the upper room when God poured out the Holy Ghost, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. The power of God came upon him. He stood up when that cloud come around, asking, what does this mean? It was Peter who stood up and preached that first Pentecostal message under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 souls got saved on that first Pentecostal day. Brother, a few days later, Peter and John were making their way up to the temple at the hour of prayer. That was a man lying at the gate, beautiful gate of the temple. Peter said, look on us. And he looked on them expecting to receive something from them, but not what he got. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand and pulled him up. You know, years later, after the church had become accepted in the world, and the bishops were wealthy, and the church was large landowners, and money was a-flowing in the coffers. One bishop said, no longer do we have to say, silver and gold have we none. And somebody come back and said, yes, and neither can we say, but such as we have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I guess the question is, which would you rather have? But what they had then, brother, was the power of God. And Peter said, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter later on will confront Ananias and Sapphira, who are polluting the house of God with their hypocrisy. Both of them fall dead in the presence of Peter. Peter did not do that. In fact, when Ananias fell dead in his presence, I'm sure he was just as shocked as you would have been. Now, he expected it when his wife come in, but it was Peter that confronted those people who were seeking to pollute the house of God with their hypocrisy. It was Peter and John that after that great revival took place at Samaria under Philip in Acts chapter 8, it was Peter and John that went down there and prayed for them, laid their hands on them, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. It was Peter at Lydda, the city of Lydda, and he saw a man by the name of Aeneas, 8 years in the bed with the palsy. Jesus, he said to him, Jesus Christ makes you whole. And he said, arise and make your bed. Yeah. And Aeneas got out of the bed. And the Bible says all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. It was this same man, Peter. I'm talking about the man that denied the Lord 3 times. I'm talking about the man that Jesus said, I've prayed for you. I'm talking about the man that Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. This man, Peter, went to Joppa. He was summoned by the disciples there. They said, Dorcas is dead. I don't know why they went after Peter, unless they believed that something was going to happen. Anyway, they went after him. Peter came down to Joppa. He went in and prayed for Dorcas. God raised her from the dead. And the Bible says that many believed on the Lord. It was Peter, brother, that crossed the boundary line into Gentile territory. Went down to Cornelius' house and preached Jesus to that crowd. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And I'm telling you, it was this man Peter that wrote 2 wonderful books in the New Testament that God gave to us under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And this man that failed the Lord, you hearing me? This man that denied Jesus, and this man that Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, that it don't give out, that it don't expire. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. You'd ask Peter, hey, if we could ask Peter tonight, Peter, what do you ascribe your spiritual success to? He might say to you, the only reason that I was able to do what I did is because Jesus never gave up on me. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, that's the only reason that Peter ever became what he was for Jesus, is because Jesus never gave up on him. Hallelujah. Through all of his failures, and he had more than one, but through all of his failures, Jesus never gave up on Peter. I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And when you are converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. I'm preaching to people here tonight that no doubt you have failed God. You're ashamed of what you've done. But I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. And he's prayed for you. This is the reason we've got hope in the midst of our failures. It's because Jesus has prayed for us. And he wills our recovery tonight. Hallelujah. I said, he wills our recovery. Oh, it matters, brother. I'm telling you, it matters that we understand the attitude of Jesus toward us in the midst of our failure. When we have failed God, when we're ashamed of ourselves, and when we're lying in the dust defeated, needed. Praise God. It's wonderful to know that on high we've got a friend, an intercessor, a mediator who cares about us and has prayed for us. You may be the one lying in defeat tonight. You may be the one that Satan has overthrown you, that he got at you in a vulnerable moment, that he came to you at a time when you were unsuspecting, and he tripped you up, and you failed God, and you've been discouraged and despondent about ever getting back to where you once were with God. And Satan has told you that you couldn't. And people have told you, I've known people that backslid and they never got back to where they were. And you've heard them stories over and over again. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you can rise higher than you've ever risen before, because you've got a friend in Jesus tonight. I said you can rise higher than you've ever risen before, because you got a friend in Jesus. I'm telling you, Peter was a greater man after he recovered than he ever had been before in his life. And Jesus Christ can take you from where you are. Hallelujah. And he can instill something in you tonight and make you a greater Christian than you've ever been before in your life. Jesus loves you where you are, but he wants to make you what you need to be. Said he loves you where you are, but he wants to make you what you need to be tonight. And if you are interested in the help of Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you got a friend that's interested in you. Oh yeah. Oh, I know. We live in a world popping pills. They pop pills to get up. Pop pills to go to bed. Pop pills will make it through the day. Can't stand to live in the real world. Heart's depressed, discouraged, despondent. Don't realize somebody sitting in the heavens loves them. Praise God. Somebody has prayed for them, that Jesus Christ is our intercessor and he cares about our souls tonight. I prayed for you. Brother, I'm telling you, there ain't nobody can pray like Jesus can pray. I said there ain't nobody can pray like Jesus can pray. After the disciples heard him praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Praise God. Never heard praying like that before. I want you to know that when you're on his mind and Jesus is a calling your name and he's interceding for you, there ain't nobody can pray for you like Jesus can pray for you. But he loves you tonight. He knows where you are. He knows what you've done, and he loves you anyway. And he wants to help you tonight. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. We're dealing with people in this society, brother. Send them to all the doctors in the country. They come out just as defeated as they were when they went. Oh, yeah. All they got to do is just get with that old crowd again, and they're right back on them drugs. Oh, yeah. I talked with a lady this past week. She was telling me about her daughter. She broke down and cried. She said, my daughter got hooked on that cocaine. She said, I fought for my daughter. She said, I followed her far and near. She'd be with these drug dealers. She'd look her up. She'd kick down doors. She'd try her best to rescue her daughter, and her daughter would go right back to them. She said she's been clean for about a year or so now, but she said, I pursued them. I wrote down their tag numbers. I went to the motel rooms where they were, and I called the police and told them where they were. And she said, I fought for my daughter's life, and praise God. And her daughter would just go right back to it over and over again. That's the kind of society we're living in. That's the kind of power of the devil that's occupying the hearts and minds of the people in our society. But I'm telling you about somebody that's greater than the power of drugs. I'm telling you about somebody that loves you in spite of your defeat. I'm telling you about somebody that's prayed for you, that's interceding for you, that loves you and is able to deliver you from the powers of sin. Oh yeah.
We've got to believe in Jesus. I'm telling you, your salvation is not putting your name on this church register. Your salvation is not letting me dip you in a pool of water somewhere. Your salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah. And He don't just erase the record of the past. He gives you victory over the sins of the present. So you can walk away from what's held you in bondage and shout the victory because Jesus has prayed for you. We got an intercessor. We've got a mediator between God and men. And He knows, young folks, He knows. He knows where you're at tonight. You know, I just dare to say it. I know that young people are curious about sin. Because I've been young before. And I was curious about sin. And investigated all I dared to. And go as far as I dared to go. Just trying to find out what it was like out yonder in a world I didn't know anything about. And I know young people do that. And they get in trouble. Things that they thought was fun becomes their master. Just investigating, curious. And before you know it, they're slaves. They're sorry they ever got there. They feel unclean. They feel defeated. They wish they could get loose. They make up their mind they're going to. But over and over again, the master with his whip drives them right back. But I'm here to tell you, somebody's prayed for you. Somebody's prayed for you. Jesus loves you, young man. He loves you, young lady. And Jesus Christ wants to save you from your sins, from yourself, from the world, from the devil, from hell. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to save you tonight. He can, and He will. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds here tonight. Sister Ruth is here. And her dad, Brother Jack, through life has struggled. And just been defeated over and over again. And he told me, one day, I went into my room. I believe Ruth, her mother was sitting on the couch, maybe in the living room. He said, I went in my bedroom. I fell across the bed. And while I was laying there in the bed, he said, I don't know whether it was a vision or a dream. But he said, I found myself in a car repair shop. And he said there was mechanics in that car repair shop. And they were gathered around this car with the hood raised. And he said, on the wall to this building, you could see the plaques. You know, you see them, the master mechanic, you know, training this, training that. They had training in this and training in that. Master mechanics. He said he saw those plaques on the wall. And all of these mechanics were gathered around this one car with the hood up. And they were looking in. He said it was all messed up, wires ever which way, just a mess. And he said all those mechanics were looking on that motor and just shaking their heads. He said all of a sudden, out of a side room, I stepped a man. And he came walking over to where the others were. He said, you could tell there was something different about him. He was the master. He was really the master mechanic. He came walking over to where the others were shaking their heads. He looked down in that car. And he said to the rest of them, I can fix it. I can fix it. Jack said, I woke up. I went back and told Ruth, Gaynell. He said, I took that for myself. That Jesus was telling me, I can fix it. When everybody else has given up. When everybody else is shaking their heads and saying it can't be done. As somebody comes walking out of the room with nail scars in their hands and a spear wound in their side. And he says, I can fix it. I can fix it. It don't matter what kind of shape it's in tonight. I'm telling you, Jesus can fix it. And He will. I'm telling you, Jesus will do it. If you'll give Him a chance. Just take your broken frame, your broken heart to Jesus tonight. He said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Preach deliverance to those that are in bondage. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can fix it tonight. Now I want us to stand together while Sister Judy sings tonight. Oh Jesus, will You help us right now? Oh,